This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
That Monday, April 8th, 2024 marks the first day for Mike Parsons to be the executive producer of Focus with Paul W. Smith. You know Mike Parsons. He wakes you up from 5 to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday on First Thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale. He's helped us here before. He helped the boys on WJR All Talk. And as is the case around here, everybody has two, three, four jobs, and they all do them well. Mike Parsons, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. And I'm hoping that since this is starting the day of the eclipse, I think that's good luck, right?
Yeah, the way I put it was that the eclipse was going to happen. The world would go dark, and Dave Rieger would disappear, and Mike Parsons would appear. So it's you're here a little early, but right. That's okay. Dave is being pushed into other duties, kind of engineering-type duties, because he can do it. And when you can do something around here and they need you for that, you get into that job.
Yeah, he'll be with us out on the road quite
right.
a bit.
I'm sure he will, running the controls and equipment. Danielle Mason is still here, and you had said earlier off-air, Mike, that Danielle runs the studio with an iron fist or something like that.
Yeah, she's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
She is the boss. All right, very good, Danielle. And then Rich Luzinski, a laid-back, creative man that he is, our WJR traffic and weather first. We've got to find some other things for you to do, Rich, just so... But I don't know what
I'm not too worried about it.
I don't know what you're... I bet you aren't. I don't know what your schedule is. I don't know if you run off from your traffic and weather report for us and you have to do another one. So I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to...
It's really none of my business.
Okay, well, that's good. I watch you on Instagram, so I know you've got a lot of those creative juices flowing and you need to use them.
Thank you, Paul.
You used to when we did the whole show on, Zoom? Barnyard or whatever the thing was called. You used to bring little props with you, and I always got the biggest kick out of that. Both Kim and I would say, wow, there's a creative kid. That's a guy. That guy's creative.
Rich, Rich is actually a dairy farmer between traffic reports.
Well, when I was doing the morning show during breaks, I'd have to wash the windows on the Fisher Building.
So right, that's right.
It was. We all have, you know, our jobs to do. You know what's going to be big today? The untold story will be the post-eclipse traffic jams around the country.
Yeah, I mean, even now, I think traffic is building up on its way down to Ohio. And I think I saw a guy, he was a highway patrolman, I think, in Texas, which is in the path of totality. I think he said it's going to be like 30 Super Bowls being let out all at the same time.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, that puts it into perspective, doesn't it? I'm glad I'm not driving anywhere. We're in a perfect position where we are right now to enjoy 98-99% of the eclipse, and we don't know what we're missing, Mr. Astronomer, so we're going to love it. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to get dark. Our animals are going to go crazy.
I've got my glasses that are ISO 123312-2 certified. If it doesn't say that on your... On your glasses, you're going to burn your retinas. So
I can't tell what it's... I have to tell you this. These were made in Germany, which is... how did that not get made in China? Made in Germany, and I was cutting it close. Kim was in charge, and she thought I was going to be elsewhere, and she had to order the glasses over the weekend. I got them today.
Wow, just in time.
I thought I wasn't going to get them. I thought, oh, boy. I'm not going to get them, but I got them, and I'm looking. I can't see. Oh, yeah, ISO 123-12-2.
Okay, good. Your eyes are safe.
Filters for direct observation or something. But, you know, there are people out there that have made counterfeit glasses, and I think, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not kidding, if you catch someone who did that, they should go to jail for the rest of their lives.
At least get the pantsuit off of them.
Get the pantsuit off of them?
Yeah. No, sue the pants off them. Oh. Not the pantsuit. Sue the pants off of them.
That's way better. I was trying to think of the way you think, and I thought, this is not easy to figure out.
Oh, you don't want to be in this head.
Well, I don't want to be in it, but I do want to understand it. So sue the pants off of them. All right, do something, because they're playing with people's eyes and their vision. They're causing danger. I take that very seriously. I also take it seriously when people fraudulently deal with the elderly or the very young. I have no room in my life for that to happen for people. Anyway, there's a guy on the news who has seen 13 eclipses.
Whoa.
He's 105 years old.
Wow.
From Fort Worth, Texas. His name, Laverne Visor. And for his first eclipse in 1963, he drove 2,000 miles to see it.
This one will be a little closer.
Matt, where are you right now?
We're just driving into Monroe.
My Monroe. You're on Telegraph?
Yep.
And you said you're in a bunch of traffic with a bunch of people like you going to Toledo to watch the eclipse. Tell us.
I thought I was being original, and all of a sudden everybody else had the same idea, I think.
Yeah.
It's bumper to bumper. We got off of I-75 because it was just too packed, and thought we were going to be a little more clever, and everybody else had the same idea.
I-75 was packed?
I-75 was packed, bumper to bumper.
Wow. And this is, you know what, this is different people going at different times. Wait until after the eclipse when everyone leaves at once. Somebody said a little while ago, how many Super Bowls, like several Super Bowls?
30.
And 30 Super Bowls.
Three or 30, I can't remember, but either way, it's not going to be a fun ride home.
Nope. All right, well, have fun. Don't stop in Luna Pier. The mayor doesn't want you there.
Be heard.
Okay, see you later. Thanks, Matt, thanks for the heads up. You sent me a picture in traffic on Telegraph Road. Not the only one going south to get the eclipse. I'm going to stay right where I am. Everybody probably at this point, you don't want to hear it if you're driving, but wherever you are, you're going to see a nice show, that's for sure. And Tonima Anana is an assistant professor of physics and astronomy at Wayne State University, and she's going to fill us in on what else to expect during today's solar eclipse. Professor, it's a pleasure having you in Focus on WJR. I'm Paul W. Smith. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it's our pleasure. You just heard, here's a guy calling in. There's traffic everywhere as people are trying to jockey for a better place to see the eclipse, but we're in a pretty good place, aren't we?
Yes, we shouldn't get a complete eclipse, but our maximum coverage should still give us pretty exciting views from here.
I heard from another astronomer on another show before coming on the air on WJR All Talk with Tom Jordan, Kevin Dietz. They said, well, you know, it's only going to be 98%, 99%. It's not really a total eclipse. You need to experience a real total solar eclipse. Put it on your bucket list. That kind of took the wind out of my sails. I think what's happening today, I think these minutes that many people have waited years for are going to be spectacular in their own right. What do you say?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see from Detroit area today is going to be pretty exciting. I mean, if you have eclipse glasses or pinhole camera, if you're prepared to just see it from here, this is still going to be, 99% darkness. I mean, if you can get totality, then you get a little more dramatic effect. But what we can see from here, I mean, I'm not going to Ohio for this. So, yeah.
Yeah, take that. You're an astronomer. You're an assistant professor of physics and astronomy at Wayne State. You're not leaving. You're going to stick around. Mm-hmm. God bless you for that. But we do keep reminding everybody that you do need to wear those eclipse glasses and make sure they're real and not fakes. And the way you do that is if you put the glasses on and look out, you can't see anything because they are that dark and they need to be that dark. So don't try to make your own eclipse glasses. And don't look at the partially eclipsed sun through a camera, and don't aim your camera or your phone at the eclipse. Not just enjoy it for yourself.
Exactly, because people who have looked at the sun directly for in the 2017 eclipse, some of them still haven't completely recovered from the visual impairment that they have suffered.
Oh
so
my.
Definitely do not ever look at the sun, even during an eclipse, with just your naked eyes.
Wow, did you understand what she said? She just said there are people who looked at the last eclipse in 2017, before that one in 1979, the ones from 2017 still have damage to their eyes, to their retinas, from looking at it without the proper glasses. So, you know, this is one of those times when you can basically step outside, look up and see an eclipse, which is pretty fascinating and fabulous, but resist the urge to do it unless you have those glasses on. What are some of the other things that happen, Professor, during an eclipse that are unusual? I hear that the animals react strangely, that there's an eerie kind of a feeling all around us looking, not just like it got dark, but there's a weird lighting effect we don't get otherwise.
Yeah, so that has to do with, the sun is covered by the moon almost completely. So that's why suddenly you get like a night-like effect, which I think is disorienting for animals. So that's why you get these eerie, strange reactions from things. But there are lots of superstitions surrounding it as well. So you have to understand that every month, the moon does come between us and the sun once every month, but it does just because the plane of the moon and Earth is not exactly the same as the plane of Earth and sun. We don't get a total, we don't get an eclipse every month. So this lines up for one position in the on Earth every 18 months. So somewhere on Earth, you will get a totality every 18 months because of this strange way these planes are oriented. But all the superstitions that we have surrounding it, those are a little bit exaggerated.
Well, imagine. I can only imagine what this was like for people hundreds of years ago, and they're freaking out because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I think there has been even sacrifices surrounding eclipses to try to ward off evil. So
I understand that, in fact, executive producers of radio shows sometimes have been sacrificed during a total eclipse. Aren't you glad this is your first day, Mike Parsons? Anyway, so he does do forced laughter. I'm glad, though, but that's good for the host. But I've tried to explain it, Professor, in my Detroit News newspaper column. I tried to make it as simple as possible because I'm simple. Solar eclipses happen because of, it's been called a remarkable cosmic coincidence. The sun appears to be about the same size as the moon, while the sun is actually about 400 times larger in diameter. But since the moon is about 400 times closer to us than the sun, the two appear to be the same size in the sky, and that's why it looks like the moon is covering the sun. That's about the simplest explanation I can give.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It is a coincidence that the moon and the sun, so different in size in reality, are just the exact right distance away from each other, that their apparent size in the sky is the same. For example, sometimes we see the moon on the horizon and it appears bigger. But if you take out a coin from your pocket and compare, the size of the moon in the sky is always the same. It doesn't matter if it's a close to the horizon or up above your head. It's the same for the sun. It's always the sun appears to be the same size all the time from Earth. And so is the moon. That's why the moon can cover the sun.
I'm hearing from a lot of people. I just got a note from Jim Miller in that same traffic jam. There are a lot of traffic jams. That's before the eclipse begins. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. Bring along your patience. Because it's going to be even messier when it's all over and everybody's trying to get out of there at the same time. I was looking at one of my posts on Instagram on Paul W. Smitsta, and it just reminded me, because we've not talked about it and we don't have time today, but it was a big deal, the earthquake moving through. It started in New Jersey, I think, and of course anything that happens in New York becomes bigger than life. But I have to say, this is one of the reasons I love the New York Post. I posted on my Instagram, Paul W. Smitsta, you can see it now, the front cover of the New York Post right after the earthquake. And it says, "The earth moved for us." And it's the Statue of Liberty kind of reacting to it. A tri-state all shook up by biggest quake in 140 years. And even the byline headline New York Post is all shook up. All the letters are shook up. Because they're acting like they were hit with the earthquake. I don't know. I think the New York Post, I love headline writers, and I think we've got some great ones at the Detroit News, and they've certainly got some great ones at the New York Post. So if you want to see that at Paul W. Smitsta on my Instagram, it's just kind of funny. A lot of conversation with a lot of learned people today for good reason. In fact, political science professor, director of Oakland University's Center for Civic Engagement, talking about something other than the eclipse. Dave Duilio is here. Professor Duilio, nice to have you here. And I think probably there are some people who are very disappointed to hear that the No Labels Party, which we featured and had on our show right from the beginning, in fact, disbanding and will not run a third-party unity ticket against Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Well, good afternoon, Paul W. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I couldn't agree more. I think that there are huge percentages of the American electorate who are looking for alternatives to the two major parties and the candidates that they are going to put forth and nominate for the presidency this year. We've seen that for years, that the number of people who are looking for a third party to emerge is at an all-time high. There are 75% of Americans who don't want to see a Trump versus Biden rematch. And, you know, you can't get 70% of the public to agree that the sky is blue these days when it comes to politics, you know.
Right.
So a lot of people disappointed, I think, that maybe in theory that there's not going to be somebody else, another alternative out there, even if they didn't know who No Labels was or what they were planning.
Well, it shows there is dissatisfaction, and some people did look at this as maybe hope, although third parties are that's a tough road to hoe. But what happened? Part of what I read was they couldn't find anybody who would accept the offer to run on their platform.
Well, I think that's the main issue that they faced. And you'll remember when WJR was at the Joe Manchin DEC event a month or so ago, we had a wonderful conversation about how Joe Manchin approached that speech to the Detroit Economic Club. And it was unfortunate, I think, that maybe a week or so before that appearance, he had come out and said, look, I'm not running for president as a third party. I'm out. And I think the No Labels folks kept going to alternative after alternative and kept getting turned down. That's the only thing that I think makes sense. And it speaks to the difficulty that these seasoned politicians, and let's just take Joe Manchin as an example, right?
You remind me, he was a very sharp guy.
Incredibly sharp, right? And moderate, centrist. He could attract, in my view, folks from both sides and have a real shot at that. But he, you know, he and others like him, I think, saw the hurdles that were in front of them for really mounting a serious challenge, and one that could actually win in the fall.
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up, Professor Dave Duilio, who was with us there at the DEC, and we had him on the show, and he again said time and time again he wasn't running. And then people who came out of that meeting who heard him speak kept insisting to me, he's running. He's going to run. And I go, well, he just told me he's not running.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He's running. I guess that was wishful thinking.
Yes. And I think it speaks to the, you mentioned dissatisfaction, right? I think it speaks to the dissatisfaction that a lot of Americans feel about their options in American politics, where it always seems to just boil down to the Republican and the Democrat. And I think a lot of folks today want to move past party labels and just find a candidate who doesn't represent a party, but represents America.
The other thing we need to look at is some of the fundraising that's a little, I think it's become I don't think I can use the word, a peeing. Well, I can say peeing. It's become a peeing match. Is that better than pissing match? I don't know. But the point is, what these guys are doing now, they both want to attract the middle class. You're not attracting the middle class by bragging you've had a $26 million fundraiser in one night, or now a $50 million fundraiser in one night. This is ridiculous. My fundraiser is bigger than your fundraiser. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it just seems to be trying to speak to the political class and maintain good headlines in publications that are coming out of Washington, D.C. And I think you're on the money there, that, you know, the average American looks at that and says, you know, I can't relate to those kinds of numbers in terms of what that dollar figure looks like. And I also, frankly, can't relate to the people who are going to those fundraisers and paying whatever the cost of attendance is, whether it's a $10,000 plate dinner or a $25,000 reception or whatever it might be. And it continues to distance those candidates from the people they need to attract to win.
You know, it's I may be off on the figure, Professor, but I mean, it's like one of them was for just $500,000, you can have your picture taken with, you know, and I'm going, what are they, you know, I remember the days when I used to get my picture taken with all the presidents for nothing.
Right.
That's, yeah, that's what
sure.
they did.
Yeah. Shake hands and kiss babies is a strategy of the past.
Right. I guess it is. It's just astonishing, and it's out of control. And now we're hearing that there's a new loan plan, cancels debt for longtime borrowers. We've got President Biden rolling out another student loan handout. Are the American people, they can't be so stupid that they don't see what this is all about. It's all about winning votes by putting the rest of us further in debt.
Yeah, and get ready for it. It's just going to continue for the next 7 months.
I don't think I can get ready for that. That's just, it's unacceptable. And now there's no labels around to turn to. Do you expect anything else to happen, or are these the two guys and that's that?
Well, I think don't sleep on RFK Jr. I think he's going to have a say about how this thing turns out.
Fascinating the way people have turned on him, including his family.
Well, that's true. After that Super Bowl ad, he's not at the top of the list, that's for sure.
Well, you're at the top of our list, Professor Dave Duilio, political science professor, director of Oakland University's Center for Civic Engagement. Congratulations, too, on the basketball team. And there's a new bobblehead out for Coach Campy. I'll tell everyone about it, and it just getting released today. I'll tell everyone about it a little later. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And if there should be bobbleheads for political science professors, too, and Dave Duilio would have one. We continue in Focus. A WJR. All righty. Like I say, there's other news. Well, though we're geared up for the total solar eclipse and we're excited about these few minutes that many have waited years for. And it's happening today. It looks like the sky is going to cooperate. Clear skies is what eclipse followers say to each other. And that's what you need, because no matter how great your position is, if you don't have clear skies, you don't have a view of the eclipse, but I think it's going to be fine. Eben Brown, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire, is here. Israel saying Sunday it had withdrawn more soldiers from southern Gaza. And yesterday was many things. Yesterday was the day that Henry Ford died, matter of fact, in 1947 on April 7th, 1947, Henry Ford died at the age of 83. In 1963, on that date, 23-year-old Jack Nicklaus wins the Masters. He looked way older than 23, and I think it was Arnold Palmer who put the green jacket on him. Anyway, there's a couple of things on this day in history, and it was 6 months ago, Sunday, since the Israel-Hamas war started by Hamas, and there's just lots more to talk about. Eben Brown is here to fill us in. Always a pleasure, Eben. Wish it wasn't talking about this all the time, but we have now for 6 months.
We certainly have. It's been 6 months since Hamas, call them agents or fighters or participants or Gazans, decided it would be a good idea that it would further their goals to breach the wall that separated the Gaza territory, which was independent and autonomous, and enter Israel proper and attack elderly women, pregnant women, young children in their homes, people who chose to live near the Gaza border for the express purpose of trying to build bridges with Gazan neighbors. Many of the people who lived in these communities, these kibbutzim, were peaceniks. They were hoping that they could be good neighbors and foster a better environment by their living there, by engaging with them, by hiring them often, by doing business with them maybe. And then, of course, after attacking these communities, they then began to attack military outposts, even killing IDF soldiers. Since then, as everyone knows, Israel's military response has been decisive and really unmatched. As of yesterday, the decision was made to pull out a significant number of troops from southern Gaza, specifically the city of Khan Yunis. The answer or the reason for this, as given by the Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, was that Hamas's military capabilities in Khan Yunis have been completely decimated. And so the troops now deserve a chance to rest and to regroup because there are further missions ahead.
Eben, I have to stop the presses and just say this. You always bring so much to our program and to me and to my listeners. I always appreciate your good work. But
what you just said
has not been said before anywhere that I've heard it, and I've paid attention and listened to too much. But to point out that these very people, peaceniks, I heard you say, these people who wanted to build a bridge, they were anti-war against the Palestinians and the Arabs. They were extending an olive branch of peace, and they were slaughtered for that.
Slaughtered is a good word, yes.
And I want people to...
We could get more descriptive. We could talk about the pregnant woman who was held down by terrorists while another one took a knife to her abdomen and sliced her open without anesthesia and ripped out her fetus and killed the baby in front of her before killing her.
I will never understand the people who, in any way, shape, or form, stand up for Hamas. In any way, shape, or form. I stand for the Palestinian people. I don't stand for the terrorists, brutal Hamas, and what they did. And nobody in their right mind could or should. And that's what bothers me. And you put it in the plainest of English, of all the people that these people were raised to hate and to kill without thought, without thinking they were taking human lives because they don't see them as human, of all the people they should have spared, these were the people, the peaceniks, the people building a bridge to try to get along and to end all of the war. And yet they went and slaughtered them first. And then, as you pointed out, then they turned to the military. But they sure didn't go to the military first because they didn't want their asses kicked, as they would have been. And it's just overwhelming, but you just summed it up brilliantly.
Well, thank you. And there is something to be said about all of this. There is this delusion that so many, I think, in the West have willingly adopted to suggest that Hamas is a group of freedom fighters. There's some sort of romanticism about them. For some reason in the West. I think one of the reasons why there's such support of them in both Ireland and Northern Ireland is that they see them as some sort of version of Sinn Féin and the Irish Republican Army, which had its own history of terrorism. But I think that that it has sort of when it has been married to the the ideas of intersectionality and anti-colonialism and all this stuff, which is a lot of it is just false equivalencies that have been made. People have become to romanticize these terrorists to the sake that they've cried, well, it's only anti-Zionism. But if that's the case, why are Jews being attacked in the streets in cities around the world?
And how people can't understand how Hamas knew exactly what they were doing, knew what hellfire they were going to have rained on the Palestinian people by their actions, how people don't understand that they knew that and did it anyway to try to make the world turn against Israel is beyond me. People cannot be that stupid. Hamas knew exactly what they were doing. It is Hamas who is responsible for every Palestinian death, every death, since this all began. And I don't understand how people can't see that. They knew exactly what they were doing. Eben, God bless you. Keep up the good work always.
Thank
we
you
so appreciate you.
You bet.
Eben Brown, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. So glad we're together on this momentous day. It's a big deal. This Monday, April 8th, 2024. We've got a solar eclipse coming. Lots of people moving around to take a look at it, although you don't really have to go anywhere if you're here. There's plenty to see. But those of you on your way to Ohio, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying you're in for a traffic jam, as I've been hearing from so many other people. And don't stop in Luna Pier. I almost called it Lunar Pier. But don't stop in Luna Pier. The mayor is saying, please, the bridge is out, and there's no way to get in and out, and it'll be a problem. So, please. Marie Osborne is coming up in just a moment, going to talk with us much more about everything that we need to know, including the mayor of Luna Pier saying, please don't come. Mike Parsons is our new executive producer. Dave Rieger has moved on to other duties, and he'll be with us oftentimes when we're on the road because he's now taking on some engineering responsibilities because of the loss of Anthony Butler, Tony Butler, who for 37 years or so has been one of the best engineers in the broadcast business.
The GOAT.
What's that?
The GOAT, greatest of all time.
The GOAT, the greatest of all time. And he's going to take some time with Penny, although Penny's still working. As he said, she's much younger than he is. Penny is still working, but they're going to still enjoy their time together. And he's going to work on his little caricatures that he has, these little handmade things, hand-painted. I can't give you the website because he's working on the website. I'll do that. But Mike Parsons is here, and you know Mike. He wakes you up from 5 to 6 in the morning, Monday through Friday, on First Thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale, and you are going to continue to do that show, Michael.
Yes, and sometimes I'm waking you up before I'm even awake myself. It's a skill I'm sure you mastered.
I mastered that skill a long time ago, going to bed too late, getting up too early, and I got to a certain point in life that you're far, far, far from, where I said, this is going to kill me. I don't want to die like this. So here we are. And so we welcome you and are glad you're there. And I'm happy that you get along with Danielle Mason. You've worked together before. Danielle accepts, right? You've welcomed Mike Parsons with open arms, right, Danielle?
Obviously.
Oh, good. I thought I was still on a probationary period. That's a big relief
what?
Off my shoulders.
No. This is my Michael.
Well, it's even closer than I thought. But you guys have worked together well. You worked on Tom Jordan, Kevin Dietz's show, All Talk. You've helped us out in the past as well. So welcome, Mike Parsons.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And glad we don't lose Dave Rieger altogether because he'll be on the road with us a lot.
My life would be over if we lost him altogether.
Well, yeah. Well, you share the same birthday. We are all Aries. I'm an Aries. You're an Aries.
Oh.
He's an Aries.
Big shoes to fill.
I'm April 18th. Sophie's April 19th. Remember Sophie?
Yeah.
Sophie was born the day after I turned 50. So this April 19th, Sophie will be 21, and I'll still be 50. So we also have Rich Luzinski, our WJR traffic and weather first guy, filled with all kinds of creativity. We gotta somehow plug into some of that creativity. We have not too far away now. For the minutes that many have waited years for, our solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse.
And 2 hours away. 3:10 and 3:18 is when we're supposed to be seeing it in full effect.
And Marie's going to be here to fill us in on all the details we need, and we appreciate that. She's up next. I see from our friend Susan Tompor, I won't go into detail, but it's a nice headline. The eclipse in the United States usually is good for stocks. The Dow posted a positive year in 10 total solar eclipse years.
It's prophetic almost.
It is. Investors clearly can get stars in their eyes when it comes to dreaming that they've found the next hot stock pick, supercharged cryptocurrency, or yes, even a rare Pokemon card to buy them that Bugatti. Isn't that nice? That got your attention.
Heck yeah.
$2 million car gets everybody's attention.
All because of the eclipse.
All because of the eclipse. I got to buy a lottery ticket, but somebody hit the big one. One ticket, what, in Oregon?
Yep.
Last night before the eclipse, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
It all connects.
Yes, I guess so. I tried to watch the CMT Music Awards as much as I could, and the late country music singer Toby Keith was honored during last night's awards with a celebratory tribute performance backed by his longtime band on stage. That was sweet. That was special.
It was cute.
I have seen people addicted to lip balm, and now the story is out. There are some popular lip balm ingredients that will dry out rather than moisturize your chapped lips.
Right. You got to get the medicated stuff.
Google it. I liked Carmex all the time when I used that. I don't use it that much, but I liked it. And all eyes on college basketball again. We watched the ladies. It was kind of a bad time for Caitlin Clark to have. She had a great game last game, but really, if you were to measure it up, it was kind of like the last two games were maybe not her best games.
Yeah, well, in South Carolina, I mean, they were such a powerhouse. I mean, they were undefeated. And I think a lot of it got lost kind of in the Caitlin Clark hype, which was justified. But I think there are so many eyes on her that people didn't know just how dominant of a team South Carolina was.
I think you're right.
And I thought it was really classy of South Carolina's coach, Dawn Staley, too. She shouted Caitlin Clark out after the game. She said, thanks for elevating the game at this level. Now go do it in the WNBA. So a lot of class there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of class. And Caitlin Clark has done that. She's elevated the game. Heck, tickets for the ladies' game cost more than the tickets for the men's game, first time ever. And the numbers are unbelievable for the people who were watching. I just thought Caitlin Clark looked like there was something wrong, something on her mind. I have no idea. Maybe I'm looking too deeply into it.
Yeah.
The first game that she started out so poorly on, I congratulate her teammates for filling in the gaps. I mean, they stepped up. They stepped up, and that was good to see.
Yeah, I wonder if she was willing herself to putting too much on her shoulders. I mean, she's gotten just about every single accolade you can have in the world of basketball, except for that championship. So I don't know if that was playing on her mind or what.
I don't know what it was, but I think something was on her mind. But she's an unbelievable, history-making, best ever, female basketball player. Meanwhile, Purdue and UConn face off today, right?
They do, tonight. And Dave Bichnow, I almost said Dave Lorenz. Dave Bichnow from the Detroit Sports Commission gave us a hot tip on first thing. He said that the last few times there was a Sweet 16 in Detroit, the team that came out of Detroit's Sweet 16 ended up winning the championship, and that was Purdue. So for entertainment purposes only.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I had not heard that. I was not up between 5 and 6 this morning. God bless you. But that's great news, a little bit of for entertainment purposes only, looking at Purdue to beat UConn later today or tonight, I guess. And I saw something on the Today Show, but I think they call it now Jenna and Hoda. That extra hour, is that what they do?
Yeah, I think it's just called the third hour, yeah.
All right, the third hour with Jenna and Hoda. This shows just how brilliant Tony Michaels is, the parade company CEO, president. They're trying to raise money to have that beautiful new facility, and I hope you'll help us out on that, the parade company. But Tony Michaels on Hobnobble Gobble always picks this talent, and you go, who's that? What's that about? Well, he picked Jason Derulo several years ago, and there was Jason Derulo on the Today Show on the third hour, Jenna and Hoda, and he's teaming up with Michael Bublé, and they have a residency in Las Vegas. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's two opposite sides of the music spectrum there.
Right, and we all got to see him live many years ago at Hobnobble Gobble, and many got their picture taken with Jason Derulo. So good job, the Wizard of Ooze and Oz, Tony Michaels. There we go. More on the eclipse coming up. Marie Osborne up next here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Well, Matt, Loria, Jim Miller, all the traffic reporters that we have out there for the eclipse saying that traffic has freed up south of Luna Pier. I hope that doesn't mean people are going to Luna Pier because they're not supposed to. And no one knows that better than Marie Osborne, as the solar eclipse will begin at 1:58 p.m. and reach maximum coverage in the state around 3:14 p.m. It will all come to an end with a final partial eclipse again at 4:47 this afternoon. Where's the best viewing spot in Michigan? You know by now, the tiny town of Luna Pier. Some call it Lunar Pier now. Luna Pier in Monroe County. But the mayor there says, please, don't come. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne explains why and takes a look at maybe what your pets might even be up to during the eclipse, as well as a lot of other strange things that'll be happening, Marie.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a few things going on other than what's happening in the sky. So for Luna Pier, it all comes down to infrastructure, Paul W. The charming little town has a population of about 1,400. It's about a mile and a half long, right along Lake Erie. It's the only Michigan city in the path of totality to see a 100% eclipse today. But the mayor has told Channel 4 the main bridge to the city over I-75 has been demolished. A new one won't be open until next year. It's the main point of entry and exit for the city, and other roads cannot possibly safely accommodate thousands of motorists. So Jim Gardner is asking you to travel a little further south to Toledo for a look at the eclipse. Now, based on some of the photographs that I've seen from the sky from other reporter friends of mine, I'm not sure people are taking this to heart. Looks like everybody is heading towards Luna Pier.
So, we just got a report from a friend who was stuck in traffic going to Toledo, and he said the traffic jam freed up south of Luna Pier.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going there, and he's begging you, Jim Gardner, the mayor. And Luna Pier is a lovely little community. Mm-hmm. When I worked in Toledo, I'd go to, there was a restaurant, I think, in Luna Pier that was fabulous. I just can't remember the name of it. If Tom Romer's listening or somebody or anybody from Luna Pier can tell us what that old restaurant was. But the fact is, they're begging you not to come in. It's going to be very challenging getting in and getting out. Go a little further to Toledo, and you'll get a minute longer on the eclipse.
Yeah, you're going to get a minute longer for the eclipse in Toledo. But, you know, people really just want to get the best viewing spot. It's so important to them. Now, Paul, by the way, the rest of the state's expected to get about 98% sun coverage. So that means, you know, we're going to see, all of us are going to have an experience here today with this solar eclipse. So most of Michigan will see the event as a partial eclipse with viewers seeing a crescent shape of the sun. It's still going to be great. There's no doubt about it.
You know, we're at 98%, 99%. And other than that astronomer who was on earlier with the WJR All Talk guys, I'm going to be very happy with that. I'm not going to feel like I missed out on something.
Yeah, me neither. But you know, scientists, they're particular. They want down to the very last decimal. So
I heard a psychiatrist say on television last night that half of the people today watching their first eclipse will cry.
I heard that as well. That humans sometimes just have this reaction of, you know, crying. Also,
what do our animals do?
I was just going to mention. So animals, let's talk about that for a second. And research has found that dogs have been seen to fall silent during an eclipse. And that's really an anxiety behavior for them. And horses have clustered together in fields, shaken their heads and their tails. That's also a sign of anxiety. Some researchers found that dogs appear to react more than cats do to a solar eclipse.
Well, it's hard to get a reaction out of a cat.
Well, you took my line from me, Paul.
I'm sorry.
As somebody who has a cat, I made sure he was in the house this morning when I left, and I thought he's going to be like, okay, whatever, you know,
whatever.
I'm going to lay here on the couch, and I'll see you when you come
back.
Good
time to nap.
Yeah. So just be aware that dogs may be nervous or have anxious behavior. And again, cats, no surprise, they've been shown to be unfazed during these events. During the last eclipse that passed over the skies of the U.S., this is interesting, giraffes were seen to start galloping. Tortoises and Galapagos, I can never say that right, tortoises have started to mate. And gorillas acted like they might just have fallen or getting ready to go to sleep. So they see changes in behavior within the animal kingdom.
It becomes nighttime and no one's expecting it. I can only imagine what it was like for the ancients. Hundreds of years ago, they had to freak out. It was religious. They sacrificed people trying to make the gods happy and bring back the sun and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right. And even
I'm still waiting about the turtle. How does the turtle know it's time to procreate?
I don't know. I don't know. It's
interesting.
Like romance. It's like a Barry White song on the on the radio. I don't know.
This is the first time I've ever thought of a turtle and the Barry White song at the same time. I mean, I can say in all my life.
We just don't know these things, Paul. Also, we should say that fireflies also, believe it or not, the tiny little fireflies have been seen to have reactions to this. So look around.
Are they out already? I haven't seen a firefly.
I haven't either, but they've studied this during other eclipses in other parts of the globe. So it's interesting to watch to see animals and what their reactions are going to be today. Also, the next eclipse is not expected until August of 2044. Only 15 total solar eclipses have been reported in the United States over the last 150 years. So this is a big deal.
I mentioned this in my column today, Out of My Mind on a Monday Morning, remembering the great Bob Talbert. And I talked about it's going to be the last one. The last time a solar eclipse passed the U.S. was 2017, before that 1979, and it'll be about 20 years before another is visible from the U.S. Well, there's something you just said that may... Oh, the path of totality. In 2017, it crossed over just 12 million people. Today, it's crossing over 31.5 million.
Yes.
So they're saying this probably, these precious few minutes that many have been waiting years for, will happen today and have the largest viewing of any eclipse ever.
Absolutely. So that's why this has just caused such a craze, really, across the country. So
I have a little cartoon. I think I don't remember if Simone Vitale sent it to me or not, but there's a son sitting on his dad's lap, and the son says, "Can you explain to me the total eclipse, Dad?" And he says, "No, son, S-U-N." Get it? No,
bada
son.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Bada boom, bada bing. Yeah. Well, all right. So
it was cute.
Here's a very quick. This helped me understand what's going on, because the sun is so much bigger than the moon, but it's a remarkable cosmic coincidence. The sun appears to be about the same size as the moon, while the sun is actually about 400 times larger in diameter. But since the moon is about 400 times closer to us than the sun, the two appear to be the same size in the sky, mm-hmm. and that's why it looks like the moon is covering the sun. And then I wish for us all clear skies. Thank you, Riri.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst. Don't go to Luna Pier. Go to Toledo. Go to Toledo. Go to the Beirut restaurant on the Monroe Street. Enjoy yourself. Go to Tony Paco's. Have one of those famous dogs from MASH. But Luna Pier can't handle you right now. They will one day. We'll let you know. We'll check in with the mayor and find out exactly when it's okay. Mayor Jim Gardner, we'll have him on the show, and we'll talk about it. 128 WJR. Quick note here. Don't forget what Mark Blackwell has given us. Last week I mentioned it. He's our production genius. NASA has provided an interactive map depicting where the sun will be. Go to eclipse-explorer.smce.nasa.gov. That's eclipse-explorer.smce.nasa.gov. I will say this. All of our local media, the radio stations, television stations, newspapers, are all doing a fabulous job. They're doing a great job on the eclipse. And so just wanted to mention that as well. And by the way, the solar eclipse emerges on its dark path. A partial eclipse has made landfall on Mexico's Pacific coast, the first step in a movement that will make the sun disappear in the daytime throughout the United States, including right here. And for those of you on your way to Toledo, right there as well. So lots of good places to view it. And there you are. Craig Mauger, the state politics reporter for the fabulous Detroit News, has a report that tells us the publishing giant, and they are a giant, Simon & Schuster, says they're going to release a book this summer by our governor, Gretchen Whitmer. It'll be about her life. 5 years as the state's chief executive, a signal of, well, let's face it, she's got expanding national profile. And I don't remember the last person elected president who didn't have a book out. I don't know, Craig, am I jumping the gun here?
No, I don't think you are. It's kind of a prerequisite that people know who you are at this kind of level.
It looks good. There was a picture in your story Saturday in the Detroit News. It's going to be called True Grinch, What I've Learned About Life, Leadership, and Everything in Between, and it's set to go on sale July 9th, according to the publisher.
That's right. That's right. It's quite a moment for the governor here. You can make a lot out of this book. You can make a lot out of that title that you just read. There are a lot of interesting conversations in Lansing, even among the reporters. Why was the book named True Gretch and not That Woman from Michigan, as she was the high level? And that's an interesting concept just in itself. Why did they choose this title? And my theory on that, I'm just guessing here. This is what I think, having covered politics for a long time. And it's an interesting note. I think they wanted her name in the title to get people familiar with her name. I think her weakness nationally is people don't know her yet. I mean, she is less known than a lot of these other national figures that could be seeking the Democratic nomination in a few years. And I think this is an effort to bolster her name ID right there.
Well, that's funny. That's an interesting thought, because she's been on the cable channels a lot and I think has acquitted herself well virtually every time she was on the cable channels. She never stepped in it or made any kind of a big mistake that I saw. And Sean Hannity talks about her all the time. I've mentioned to the governor before, gee whiz, Sean Hannity is promoting you all the time as the next candidate for president. I mean, he does this. I don't know if you watch him, but Craig, he does it a lot.
He does talk about her a lot, and she's talked about a lot on Fox News, but I don't think it's quite to the level right now as it is for California Governor Gavin Newsom or Vice President Kamala Harris. I mean, these are the people that she could be competing with one day for a Democratic nomination if she were to choose to run. And she's got some catching up to do. When there's polling done nationally of Democrats in, you know, other states, she's very well known in Michigan, but in other states, when you ask them who could be the nominee if it's not Joe Biden, she's not getting a large percentage of the participants in those types of polls. And that's where she's got to make up some ground.
Well, that's interesting. You know, and when you mention Kamala Harris, the vice president, and Gavin Newsom, governor there out in La La Land, we also know a lot of things that we don't like about those two.
That's part of having a rising national profile, I would say. There's people that like you and don't like you.
And I haven't seen that as much outside of Michigan as I have the dislikes that are more broadly expressed for Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom. There are plenty of people in Michigan who will find plenty of reasons to complain about our governor, Gretchen Whitmer. A lot of it goes back to the handling of something that nobody knew how to handle. People were struggling to get through what was going on with the epidemic and all of that. So, this is the great state of Michigan. We have a lot of people with a lot of strong opinions about everybody and everything. But I haven't seen those opinions out there nationally. Now, I'm not out there nationally, but I do pay attention. Mm-hmm. Do you get an advance copy of something like this?
That's unclear to me at this point. I mean, there has been some talk that there could be some advanced copies provided. I hope that we do, and we can go through it and have a bunch of stories ready for when the book releases. It will be interesting to see what this book reveals. If you know the governor, you talk to her a lot. She is very she's very prepared in everything that she does. The idea, I told my editor, the idea that we are going to pick up this book and there's going to be a bunch of huge reveals in it of things that were happening behind the scenes, that does not fit with what I have seen from the governor, from covering her for a few years. I would not expect that, but I could be wrong. Well, what do you think about that? I'm interested in your thoughts.
I think it's going to be well written, mostly, I hope, by her. I think it will be a nice introduction. Obviously, she's not going to write a book and say everybody hates her. She's going to write a book about her success and the things that she's accomplished. Yeah. Because this, whether it's an entree to being a candidate for president, there is no question that there is a larger place in the hearts, souls, and minds of the National Democratic Party. You know, I had a conversation many years ago with former President Bill Clinton. And this, I was on the air with him for a very long time, much longer than they told me I'd have. And then I had 45 minutes off the air with him. And one of the things he said to me, and I, you know, it was all secret at the time, but by now it's, that was so many years ago. He said to me, what happened to Kwame Kilpatrick? And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, we had big plans for him in the National Democrat Party. And so I thought, wow, that's fascinating. And I went through what happened to him. And as I'm telling him that he also apparently had a girlfriend or fooled around while he was in office. And I once said to him, don't fool around when you're in office. You'll have plenty of time to do that when you're out of office. And I forgot who I was talking to, Bill Clinton.
That's quite a story. I had not heard that before.
Well, and I thought, oh, man, he's really going to be angry. But his people called back later. And I said, was he okay? And they said, yeah, he was fine. He enjoyed the interview. And I said, well, nothing happened. He goes, no, he just said, if you were recording it, he would prefer that you not release the recording. And the fact of the matter was, I tried to record it, but I couldn't. But I said, okay, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I tried to record it, but I was not able to. So I didn't have to destroy a tape or keep it in my archives when we're all dead or anything like that. You know, I appreciate the last of our governors who wrote a book was, of course, Governor Jennifer Granholm, now Energy Secretary Granholm. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned and happy to see that I was actually in her book where she referred to me as a fair conservative. Now, that drives some listeners crazy because I treat governors all the same. I was more in line with Rick Snyder's politics than I am in a Democrat governor's politics, but I treat them like governors because that's what they are. And I don't invite people on my show to beat them up generally. And so I appreciated that she referred to me as a fair conservative. Gee, I wonder if in True Gretch I'll make a cameo appearance. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. Craig, I appreciate you giving us a heads up on this. I had not heard about it. You'll agree, Simon & Schuster's a big deal. Didn't they didn't they give somebody gave former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo like $5 million for his memoir in advance? I wonder if they were as generous with our governor.
I hope to find out. I hope to find out. Wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck to all of us. And we wish the governor good luck, too. We'll see the governor Wednesday at her big meeting in Kalamazoo. We'll be broadcasting there live. We've been invited to be there for the Governor's Council on Tourism. So we got a lot going on. Craig, you've got a lot going on, and we always like reading you in the Detroit News. Thanks much.
Thank you.
143 WJR. All right, a couple of quick notes before we head over to a very special location where we will find our Chris Renwick. But first, I wanted to tell you, I promised him I'd mention this. I got word over the weekend that the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum unveiled a pair of officially licensed Greg Campy Oakland Golden Grizzlies bobbleheads, as well as a bobblehead featuring Oakland's mascot, Grizz. The bobbleheads celebrate the Golden Grizzlies coach, who's led the program for 40 years, and was a tournament darling during March Madness after a stunning upset over Kentucky, followed by a near upset over NC State. We couldn't be happier for Greg Campy. I don't know if this, well, they had to get his permission, I'm sure. The guy who told me about it is Phil Sklar. Phil Sklar is the co-founder and CEO of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. You can start ordering them as of today. This was held off until 6 this morning, I guess. Each bobblehead individually numbered. There'll be only 2,024. They'll ship in September, it looks like. The Greg Campy bobbleheads are $30 each. The Grizz bobbleheads are $35, plus an $8 flat rate shipping charge per order. Well, congratulations to an all-around great guy, Greg Campy. And he'll be wearing his Golden Grizzlies pullover, one in white, one in black. And he has his own bobblehead. I think the best place to go is the problem with some of these press releases is they say, hit this link. Well, I can't do that on the radio. I don't know what the link is. So I would just go to bobbleheadhall.com. Bobbleheadhall.com. That's for the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum, Phil Sklar. And congratulations to Greg Campy. Congratulations to the team and the Golden Grizzlies, the whole deal, everybody there. All right. In just a short period of time, the few minutes that many have waited years for will be happening. The last time a solar eclipse passed the United States was 2017. Before that, 1979, and as of now, the next one will be in about 20 years, visible from the U.S. They're already enjoying it in Mexico. It's headed our way. And so is Chris Renwick for JR Afternoons, coming your way right after the 2 o'clock news, which is next. And you are planted in an excellent position, Christopher.
Yeah, Paulie, we're at Cranbrook today. I got to tell you, one of the things that it's warmed my heart a little bit because, you know, kids and phones and tablets and gaming systems and all that tends to dominate their lives. But there are kids playing hooky from school today to come see this. And while I generally would not endorse that, I think today, on a day like today, you got to experience it. And I applaud a lot of the families out here that brought their kids today.
And I want to reiterate that we are all going to experience something that's spectacular. Whether it's 98% or 99.3%, whatever it is, it's going to be spectacular. Mm-hmm. There are those who will say, well, but it's not really a total eclipse. Yeah, it is for us. And it's going to be spectacular. And I would remind everyone, wear your eclipse glasses at all times. Now, they say during that brief period of totality, you can take them off. Don't do that with the kids. The kids can't decide. Just leave the glasses on with the kids. Don't make your own eclipse glasses. And to make sure that they're real and make sure your kids are real, you shouldn't be able to see anything out through those glasses if they're as dark as they're supposed to be. They also suggest, one person said, just enjoy this eclipse. Take a picture of the next one. But there are many who say, obviously, you don't look at the partially eclipsed sun through a camera, and you don't aim your camera or phone at the eclipse. You know what? There'll be so many great pictures from all the television coverage. You can get all that after the eclipse. There are people who will be fooling around with their camera, their phone, and they're going to miss the eclipse because they're trying to get a good picture of it.
Yeah, I think you want to be in the moment for this one.
I think so, too.
It's so special. It's so you know, put it into, kind of historical human perspective. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, this type of solar activity, the way and space activity where the sun passes in between or the moon passes between the sun. I mean, this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years, back when they didn't even know what was happening. Back when they were just excited to see the sun come back out because it should be out on a day when, you know, a bright sunny day, and now it's dark all of a sudden.
The animals get confused. The humans got confused. And in fact, they used to sacrifice afternoon talk show hosts when the eclipse would come. So
I hope that doesn't happen again today.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too, as a fellow afternoon guy now. Yeah, me too. So what's it like there at Cranbrook? It's got to be fabulous. You know, we don't give enough attention to Cranbrook. We are so lucky to have it there.
Oh, my God, are we so fortunate. I mean, this place is unbelievable, and it's packed. And it's been really busy since, you know, 11 o'clock today. And look, I got to give the Science Center a ton of credit. They're usually closed today, but they know what the demand is, and they've opened their doors up, and the place is full. So we're excited for the show today.
I can't wait to hear it. Only WJR and Chris Renwick can pull off an eclipse on the radio. Think about it. Like we do the Ford fireworks and America's Thanksgiving Parade presented by Gardner White and any number of other fabulous events. Nothing's too big to not have it on WJR radio. And you will lend us your description. You're in a perfect place. And thank you so much, Chris. Have fun with JR Afternoon at Cranbrook.
Thank you, Paulie. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
We'll look forward to it, my friend, and I look forward to being eclipsed this afternoon along with you. Just the reminder again, wear your eclipse glasses. Rare moment you can step out of your house, out of your office, out of your car, look up and see an eclipse, but don't do it without the proper protection. Don't do it while you're driving. Don't pull off the side of the road to look at it, all that stuff. Go on out, make it a great rest of the day on your way to making each and every day count each day. Is a gift. Happy eclipse, clear skies. Regards, Paul W. Smith.